shadowy undercover unit used by the British Army in Northern Ireland shot unarmed civilians. That's the central finding of a BBC Panorama documentary. On the programme last night, former members of the Military Reaction Force claimed they had hunted down IRA members in Belfast in the early 70s. The Panorama reporter John Ware gained unprecedented access to the soldiers. They claimed they weren't here to act as an army unit, but to act like a terror group.
In 1972, Belfast was one of the most dangerous places on earth. There were multiple bombings and shootings almost daily. The Military Reaction Force was a small secret unit set up by the army to take the war to the IRA. Now, a Panorama investigation shows how some in the unit operated outside the law and shot unarmed civilians. The 40-strong MRF patrolled the heartland of the IRA, West Belfast, in unmarked cars. Three former members of the unit agreed to appear on camera, provided their identities were disguised.
What was the mission, as you understood it?
To draw out the IRA and to minimise their activities.
Minimise their activities?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, if they needed shooting, they'd be shot.
We were not there to act like an army unit. We were there to act like a terror group.
MRF operational records have been destroyed, and the soldiers we've interviewed have avoided incriminating themselves or their comrades. What is clear, though, is that in 1972, some plainclothes soldiers thought it acceptable to shoot unarmed people. One member explained how they sometimes approached barricades manned by nationalists to deter loyalist incursions.
But are you saying to me that on occasions the MRF would make an assumption that someone had a weapon, even if you couldn't see one?
Occasionally.
And they would get shot?
Occasionally.
Some people would say that's murder.
No.
In fact, I think most people would say that's murder.
It's possible. I wouldn't say that.
The soldiers admit they operated outside the rules of engagement. The Army's yellow card prohibited firing unless lives were in immediate danger.
There were strict rules as regards the yellow card.
You knew the rules of the yellow card.
Oh, yeah, I knew the rules of the yellow card inside out. But
it didn't apply to the MRF?
No.
I just want to be clear about where the red line was, as it were.
I think it's a fuzzy red line.
The MRF was wound up after about 18 months. The soldiers say their contribution to the fight against the IRA has never been recognised. The Minister of Defence has told the BBC it's referred allegations that some MRF soldiers shot unarmed civilians to the police in Northern Ireland. But yesterday, the Northern Ireland Attorney General proposed there should be no more prosecutions or inquiries into conflict-related killings. This could mean the end of the historical inquiries team, who've been reviewing such cases for the last 7 years. But 40 years on, some relatives are still seeking answers.
Well, there have now been calls for an inquiry into those claims by the former soldiers that they shot unarmed civilians here in the 1970s. And as John Ware was saying there, this comes a day after the Attorney General, John Larkin, suggested a line should be drawn under trouble-related killings, that there should be no more prosecutions for murders pre-1998. Patricia McBride, former Victims Commissioner. Morning, Patricia.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Colonel Richard Kemp served 9 tours in Northern Ireland. Morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Are you embarrassed about that programme last night, Richard?
No, I think I'm not embarrassed by it, and I'm not really surprised by it, because I think what it shows a number of allegedly former MRF soldiers who claim certain sensational activities. Now, let's not forget that what they're trying to do is to publicise a book that they're trying to sell, and they're also trying to bring attention to their unit and the neglect they think they've suffered. Now, that may or may not, what they said may or may not be true. We'll have to wait and see what an investigation turns up. If it is true, of course, it's absolutely horrifying and it shouldn't have happened. And if it did happen and it's possible to do so, then those responsible should be brought to justice.
Yeah, and Patricia, of course, the question is would there be any confidence if it did happen that there would be a real attempt to bring the people responsible for it to justice?
Well, I think the first thing we need to bear in mind this morning, Stephen, is that we now have another group of families, the families of 10 unarmed civilians and many, many people who were wounded, who are left today with probably more questions than answers. who sanctioned the use of the military reaction force, who was responsible for killing their loved one. Why was it never investigated? And why do those responsible, knowing what they now know, display absolutely no remorse about the killing of innocent civilians outside of the rules of engagement, as they clearly stated last night, and clearly stating again that it was acceptable to shoot unarmed civilians? This is not the behaviour that one would expect of the organisation that styles itself as the most professional army in the world, and absolutely it must be investigated.
No. Calls coming in on this already this morning. David's first. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen. Well, I'd like to say quite clearly, I'm a Protestant and I'm absolutely disgusted to the teeth what I seen last night. It's an absolute disgrace. But I also think that the British troops, what they've done, has led to other people's being murdered, because obviously when these innocent people were murdered, then there was retaliation. So people within the unionist community were murdered by the stupid actions of stupid soldiers on the streets of Northern Ireland. Disgusted. Unbelievable.
Do you think they will be pursued?
I hope they rot in hell.
Yeah, but do you think they will be pursued?
Well, I don't, because I think, to be quite honest with you, for a very long time the British troops were put in here with immunity given to them when they were put into Northern Ireland. I've always had that suspicion. I'm actually disgusted.
Colonel Kemp?
Sorry?
Yes, Richard? What's your question?
Well, you can hear the initial reaction there from our caller, one of disgust.
Yeah, well, and I think, I mean, you know, I would stress that we're not in the business of trial by television. We've heard what we've heard. I don't take it at face value. However, if what is alleged to have happened did happen, then I would be equally disgusted with you, as along with your caller. And if that's the case, then, as I said earlier, then the people responsible for it, whether it was the soldiers themselves or their commanders, should be brought to justice.
And do you think there should be investigations now, Richard?
I do indeed, yes. And indeed, the Ministry of Defence has, as I understand it, has referred these cases to the police for an investigation. It should certainly happen.
So you would disagree with... Go ahead, Patricia.
It's important to say that, you know, the outcome of an investigation need not necessarily just result in prosecutions. That may be one outcome that could be achieved if these allegations are sufficiently investigated. But the real reason, too, to undertake such an investigation is about gathering and producing evidence that will answer the questions of the families of the loved of the people who have died and the people who were injured. It's about creating an official record. It's about, you know, it's about talking there about Richard Kemp talking about sensational claims that are being made by former members of the military reaction force. Well, if that's the case, then let's put that on the record. Let's challenge that. So it's not just about sending someone to prison, but it's about a much greater picture of accountability and responsibility for wrongdoing. And it goes back to John Larkin's comments about, you know, the fact that we should draw a line under the past. And I think the greatest thing that's come out of that in the last 2 days is that there's a great unity of voice from victims and survivors, that we cannot bury the past in some misguided sacrifice to our future. People cannot simply just put the past behind them because that's what others wish them to do. You cannot expect that people will do that when the past continues to leach out, as it has done last night with Panorama, as it did a couple of weeks ago with the programme on The Disappeared, as it will continue to do as we face more and more anniversaries. This is not going away. So let's take John Larkin's challenge and tackle the past in a cohesive way. Let's go back to the Eames Bradley report, and let's ensure that Richard Haass and Megan O'Sullivan do their job.